Teaching this message last 2 weeks ago, talking about barriers and boundaries. And I kind of begin the message with the idea that there are fence people and non-fence people. Those people that like to have a fence up in their yard and those people that don't. And I am a fence person. I like fences. Maybe when you put up a fence, or if you ever have, it was because of aesthetics. It was because you like the look of a fence. But I think a lot of people put up fences, obviously, because they want to use it to protect themselves, to guard their things, you know, to guard their house, to guard the fact that things could come against them. And also, if you have like an animal or if you have a child, you don't want the animal or child run out. So it's a guarding, it's a protection. The point I really wanted to make in this message is the idea that our barriers and our boundaries are things that we're going to deal with when we start to follow after God. Obviously, there's going to be boundaries that we have to put up in our faith. There's things that we have to do to protect it. And also, there's going to be barriers that are going to come at us and try to attack us once we start to follow after God. So we have to understand that in our faith, it's really important for us to look at it the same way, that it's something so powerful and something so amazing that we want to guard it, we want to protect it. You know, I was saying the idea is that, you know, like if I gave you an amazing treasure, you know, if I gave you a beautiful treasure, like a beautiful diamond or something that's very valuable, you would do what you can to protect it. Unfortunately, a lot of times what happens is in our faith is we've been given this amazing treasure, this gift, and we don't protect it. We don't guard it as much as we should. So there's going to be barriers that are going to come in our path. We know that once we start to follow after God, it's never going to be smooth sailing. There's going to be things that are going to come at us. There's things that even things that you think are good sometimes could actually be a stumbling block and could cause us to, you know, fall back and maybe not move forward as fast as we should. I like definitions of words. I'm a big definition language English person. I really love that. And I think that words have a lot of meaning, and a lot of times we don't use them maybe in the way we should. But I wanted to read to you the definitions of a barrier. It is a fence or other obstacle that prevents movement or access. Obviously, a barrier is there. It stops us, right? It slows us down. We see that, like, obviously, this is the season of construction. All we have to do is travel on the roads and we can see it's nonstop construction. They're there. Those barriers are put up for us to slow down, to stop. A boundary is something that is a line that marks the limits of an area. It's something that surrounds us, guards us, protects us. And it's something that we set up in our lives so that we don't go too far and end up going off the cliff, you know? There's boundaries that we put up. When we don't put up those boundaries, what we do is we just leave ourselves open to the attack of the enemy. You know, if we don't guard ourselves, there's really no one else who's going to guard us except for Jesus is going to do his best. But we are important. It's important for us to realize that we need to put up those barriers and boundaries ourselves also. When we don't, like I said, we're just leaving ourselves open to what the enemy wants to do in our lives. Peter 5:8 says, "Stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour." See, the thing is, we have an enemy. And a lot of times what happens is we start to follow along in our faith and we see God and we think God's great and he's good and he's going to help us. But we a lot of times don't really understand that there's an enemy that's trying to take us off our game all the time. He's there trying to trip us up, trying to make us fall back, trying to eat us and take us out. Obviously, God tells us this is a very serious battle that we're in. It's a life or death battle. And it's important for us to remember that we have that enemy. God's word says in Ephesians 6:12, it says, "For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places." I think many times we can read that. If you do read it, we cannot take that seriously enough. I think the idea that there's an enemy that's trying to get to us, and that there's evil spirits in this world that are out to get us. I think if you start to follow after God, sometimes you can see it at the beginning, and I think sometimes what happens is we can get comfortable and not realize that there's so much things that we don't know that's going on, we're not aware of, and we don't really give credence to the idea that there could be an enemy. You know, I think what happens is we've been lulled into believing that these things don't really exist. You know, that they're just not real. Maybe it's something you saw in a movie or science fiction or something like that. But I think we'd be surprised to see that there is such spiritual things going on that we're not aware of. You know, we don't know when there is an angel stepping in front of us to protect us. We don't know when there was an enemy just going to do something that we can't see, but the spiritual world, and they're fighting. They could be literally here fighting an army right now around us, trying to stop. It could be, you know, God trying to tell you something, the enemy trying to stop you from listening. There's a whole unseen thing that's taking place in this world that we're not aware of. I think what happens a lot of times, because we don't really think about that much, is that we really don't take it serious enough. And a lot of times what happens is we don't really believe that the enemy can do this, that he could take us out, that he could cause us to fall back, that he could throw barriers in our path so much to stop us. And I think we've just kind of get comfortable instead. Well, if we read the Bible, we can see that the enemy is really, really cunning. He can do what he can to take us out. And the thing that we have to remember about the enemy is that he plays the long game. You know, a lot of times what we do is we just want to try to get through the day. We're like, I just got to make it through this minute, this hour. See, the enemy is really, really smart. He knows how to play the long game. He knows just enough to give you one day so that you fail the next day and the next day and the next day. He's just watching and waiting and seeing where you're at in this world so he can throw out the right bait so that you will be taken out, that you can be picked off. And a lot of times it happens when we think we're safe. You know, when we think we're okay, we're strong, we can make it. And I said that to you in the last message. The idea is a lot of times what happens is we underestimate the enemy and we overestimate ourselves, thinking that we can make it, that we'll survive, that we can take anything that the enemy throws at us and that we'll be able to survive. And a lot of times we really don't understand how deceptive he can do the things that he does in our lives. I think if we can see that the enemy's working, he's trying to pick us off. If we had that mindset, we would be trying to build ourselves up more, trying to actually be strong. You know, if you look at in nature, you can see that if, you know, the predator is always on the prowl, he's out there looking for the one that he can take out. And a lot of times what it is he looks in a herd, he looks in the pack, and he sees which one's fallen behind, which one looks weak, which one's stumbling, which one's not as strong to be able to fight off when he attacks. And I think we have to remember that that's us. That's us in this walk that we faith, you know, in our walk of faith that we're in, that the enemy looks for us and sees who he can pick off. So what I wanted to talk to you about today is obviously to recognize that there is an enemy, but then also to recognize that you have God who's on your side. That if we keep that in mind, that there is a spiritual war that's taking place, but we can trust God to get us through if we guard ourselves at what the enemy's trying to do. Because if we do that, we can survive. We can go on to not just survive, but actually flourish and become who God wants us to be. The point that we have to understand is that the enemy has some attributes that we need to be aware of. You know, I think sometimes we just stop and think, you know, what the enemy is. And maybe you're like me. And I mean, I remember watching those old cartoons years ago where you could see they'd have a picture of the enemy and, the devil's there and he's all in red and he's got the pitchfork tail and he's standing there. And we think that's what we're going to see when we think of the enemy. But see, that the enemy is way better than that. He's not going to come like that because he's going to say, yeah, okay, you recognize me. But the thing is, he is deceptive. He is a liar. He is a treacherous creature, and he's going to use what he needs specifically for each one of you to take you out. The Bible tells us the enemy is a liar, that he is a deceiver, that he's a tempter, and that he's an accuser. Obviously, we can see through God's word that he really tells us that he is these things. The enemy that's fighting against us is those things. The liar in John 8:44 says, "For you are the children of your father, the devil, and you love to do the evil things he does. He was a murderer from the beginning. He has always hated the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, it is consistent with his character, for he is a liar and the father of lies." You know, the thing is that God makes it clear, right, that he's the truth, and then we have the enemy who is a liar. We have to be mindful so we don't listen to the wrong voice, the one who's telling us the truth or the one who's trying to deceive us and take us out. Like I said, he is also a deceiver. 2 Corinthians 11:14 says, "But I am not surprised. Even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light." So we can see that the enemy is very, very treacherous. He's going to look sometimes like he's a beautiful thing in our lives when it could actually be our most undoing thing that we've ever take part in. You know, sometimes we're just really not aware. I think if we're praying and we're asking God for protection, sometimes we're able to see through the enemy's tactics. But many times we can see that he's so deceptive and he disguises himself in ways that we can't really recognize him many times. Matthew 7:15 says, "Beware of false prophets who come disguised as harmless sheep but are really vicious wolves." You know, I think our society today, we can see that so many times we want to be told that what we're doing is okay. Many churches will tell people everything's good. You can live any way, it doesn't matter. God loves you. And I want you to understand, yes, God does love you. He will always love you. He created all things and we are all his children. But the thing is, he loves you, but he might not love the sin. So we have to be recognizing the fact that there's things that are about God that he wants to make clear to us. But we have to recognize when someone's telling us the wrong thing, that it is the wrong thing, and not follow it. The enemy is a shapeshifter. You know, he can turn himself into the most beautiful of things. Things that we think are our prize, the things that we think are a gift from God, and they could actually be the one thing that is actually the one thing that will destroy us. So he is a destroyer. John 10:10 says, "The thief's purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life." The enemy always wants to take the good things that you have in your life and rob them from you. He doesn't want you to be satisfied and happy. He wants to always give you pain, suffering, struggles. He wants to destroy your family. He wants to destroy those people that are around you and that you love. See, I think sometimes we don't really take that serious. We just have this mindset that, you know, I'm just going to keep following God. I'm just going to keep eyes. But we're not aware of the tactics that the enemy uses to take us out. I think sometimes we actually almost make fun of people that actually believe, well, there's an enemy and he's out to get me. We're like, yeah, the enemy again. But I think sometimes, you know, yeah, maybe sometimes people, you know, blame too much on the enemy, what it could be God trying to teach him something. But I think many times also we need to be aware that the enemy does use tactics that we need to be aware of, that we have to see that he does want to destroy us. He does want to take us out. The other thing it says is that he's an accuser. Revelation 12:10 says, "Then I heard a loud voice shouting across the heavens, 'It has come at last, salvation and power in the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. For the accuser of our brothers and sisters has been thrown down to earth, the one who accuses them before our God day and night.'" You know, I think we all have to remember that we're not who we used to be. If you've accepted Jesus as your Savior, the Bible makes it clear that we are made new. And I think we have to really push back sometimes when the enemy whispers to us that we are still that same horrible sinning person that we were before, and we say, no, I've accepted Christ, that we would take hold of that. That we would actually take that and think, yes, I am a new creation. You know, when we talked about that in baptism, the idea that, you know, it's a death, it's the death of the old man and the birth of a new, that we actually hold on to that and believe that. This is what the Bible tells us really truly happens to us. You know, I know that there's things that I've done in my past that I would totally be, I'm mortified that I did it. You know, I'm sad that I sinned the way I did. But you know, the thing is, God says if we've accepted him as our Savior, that we've been forgiven, that we've been made new. So when the enemy starts to accuse you and tell you you're this, you're this, you're this, you've done this, what our words need to be back is to say, no, but that was not me. I'm not that person anymore. It's to take hold of that new person, that forgiveness and that love that God's given us and say, I'm different now. Yes, I might stumble, but that's not who I am anymore. I'm a different person. See, the thing is, what the enemy wants to do is he always wants to accuse us so that we feel bad. He always wants us to feel bad and beat ourselves up. You know, there's a big difference between conviction which is that little tap on the shoulder that we get from God when we know we're going the wrong way, when we've done something that maybe is not so good, and you kind of feel that little bit of almost cringy feeling inside. I don't know about you, but that's how I feel. Almost this like, ugh, kind of weird, bizarre feeling that I feel when I think wrong or I do something wrong, and it's this conviction from God. And then there's a difference between that and when the enemy condemns us and tells us we're worthless. We're horrible. We should never stand in the presence of God because you're a terrible person. You know, there's a difference between those things. See, the thing is, what we have to remember is that the enemy, what he does is he condemns, and what he wants you to do is hide in shame, to go farther away. See, but God is so good that when he convicts, he always says, no, come closer. Come closer to me. Yes, I'm going to convict you. I'm going to challenge you from time to time. But I always say, come closer to me. Because if you come closer, you're going to feel more of my presence. You're going to be able to fight off the enemy more. The enemy always wants us to slink away. Slink away. Hide. Give up. The other thing the enemy is he's a tempter. Matthew 4, 1 through 3 says, then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted there by the devil. For 40 days and 40 nights he fasted and became very hungry. During that time, the devil came and said to him, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become loaves of bread. See, the enemy knew what to even do to tempt God. He's like, I know he's hungry. He's had 40 days and 40 nights with no food. He knows he's God. I'll make these stones into bread. See, the thing is, the enemy knows what to pull out and what to tempt us with. Each one of us, it could be different. What you're tempted with, I might not be. But the thing, he's going to know what to tempt you with. And so it's important for us to remember that when temptation comes, God never tempts us. It's always the enemy and our spirit sometimes that tempts us. But the enemy will do anything he can to lure you away from God. Anything. He knows all your weaknesses. He sees into you, and he knows, a lot of times because we tell him our biggest weaknesses. He knows that if he can either tempt you with sex, power, lust, greed, and he's going to know the best time to attack you too. When you're at your weakest is when he'll tempt you, and he'll throw something in your path. Cameron taught a message in the past about the idea of when the enemy attacks. And it's so important for us to remember because these things are when the enemy does come in. One, he will attack you when you're already down. You know, when you feel like you can't go on, sometimes we just have life's struggles where it seems one thing after another hits us. And you're like, man, I just got out of one thing and then there's another struggle and another struggle. When you're so down and at the end of your rope, a lot of times when you're the weakest, when you are the weakest of the pack, that's when the enemy will show up. He says, I just want to give you that one little death blow at the end, you know? Take you out for good. That's when he'll attack. He'll also attack you when you don't expect it. Sometimes when things are going well, things are going good, you're like, oh, man, things are just like so great. And if you're like me, I'm like, oh, man, now we have to worry. Things are going great. You know, what's going to happen next, you know? But a lot of times when things are going great, the enemy will attack and say, you think you got it all figured out? I'm going to get you with this. And a lot of times, like I said in the last message, he'll tempt you when you think you can handle all the temptations by yourself and without God's help. See, when we start to overestimate ourselves and think that we're really strong and that we can make it, we can do this on our own, that's when he'll get you out. We need God's help. We need his help to continue on in this battle. It is a battle for your souls. That's the part I think sometimes we don't think about, is the fact that there's an enemy and there's God, and they're literally battling over our souls, so which ones they get to take and carry away. We don't think about it that way, but that's really what's taking place. He's also going to attack you when you start to make a difference. When you start to stand up for your family, you say you're going to follow after God, you're going to do what's right, you're going to be really determined in your faith, a lot of times then the enemy will attack you because he thinks if I can take you, then I take your influence also. I'll take everything that you're doing good. You know, if you're sitting there saying, no, we're going to go, we're going to follow after God, we're going to read the Bible, we're going to do the things, our family is going to stand firm in our faith. If he can take you out, then he takes out those around you. The enemy is going to put barriers and stumbling blocks in your path all the time so that you can be slowed down or stopped. But if we're aware of his schemes, we can make it. If we stay alert to his tactics, we can make it. You know, if we did everything in our power, try to really fight all those things that try to trip us up and try to kill the sin in our lives. And, you know, we don't listen to when the enemy starts to like whisper those things in our ear saying that we're not good enough and he tries to condemn us. We actually say, no, I'm a son or daughter of the Most High God instead. If we have that victorious expression on our face, I think the enemy gets a little bit defeated. He's like, man, I can't get him there. The thing is, we can win if we actually take hold of who we are. It's a fight for our faith. It's a fight. And I don't think we understand that it's a fight. I think what happens is we thought we fought the battle at the beginning when we say, I accept Jesus my Savior. I'm going to try to follow him. We think that's good enough. No, you're going to fight to the day you die to protect this gift. From the moment you receive it to the time you take your last breath, you will have to guard this gift that you've been given. I think that we have to fight with all the weapons that God gives us to make it. To succeed, we have to have weapons, right? We know the enemy has his tactics, so what are our tactics going to be to fight? We know his character, but if we know God's character, we know how to fight with it. And to win, we need boundaries, like I said. Those boundaries that I keep talking about. They're necessary in our lives to have boundaries put up. They're the walls that actually surround your character. Who you are. Who you say you are. Who you are at your core of your being. The things that you say, I will or I will not do this. I believe in this wholeheartedly. I'm going to guard it. I'm going to protect it. Your character. What you're allowing in. And what you're going to keep out. You only have your character, really. That's what you have to sustain you. If you're a true follower of God, we have to understand that it has to be based on his character, not just ours. Not the things that we've been taught or believe, the things that somebody taught us or maybe generations have passed down in your family. Not things that you've been taught in school. Not things you've been taught by a political party. None of those things really make you who you are. It's God's character that we need to. If we say that we're following after God, then our character should be based on God's character. What does he believe and say that we should do? What does he say we shouldn't do? God's character should be what we put on upon ourselves. You know, I love the fact that, you know, no matter what we were before, that when God sees us, if Jesus has been accepted in our lives, that God sees Jesus in us. It's like a covering. It's the character of God that's upon us. I think a lot of times we've been just taught wrong. Man, I want my kids and my grandkids and my grandkids, great-grandkids, I want them to forever chase after God. You know, I was mowing the other day, and I was listening to that song. I don't know about you guys, but it's the blessings, the idea of, you know, that your family would be blessed, that your children and their children and their children. You know, that's what I want for my family. And I look at that and I think, that's what I'm guarding. I want my kids and my grandkids and my great-grandkids and generations after to love God so much that when I get up to heaven, I get to see him there. When I think about the generations that are coming after me, I want to leave a heritage of someone who loved God with all their heart. You know, I jokingly say I could be that old woman in the corner where I have pudding just all down the, you know, out of my mouth and slobbering, but they can look at me and think, but she was faithful. She was faithful and loved God. I always say, you know what? I'm not afraid to die. I'm not. If I were to die today, I'd be perfectly fine with it. But I want to stick around. And the reason why I want to stick around is because I want to be a voice to my grandkids. I want to be there to say to them, don't do that. God has a better plan for you. I know my kids are going to teach them right, my grandkids. I know that they're on the right path. But I want to be that other voice because we know the world's screaming at them all the time, telling them all the other things. I want to be another voice to say, no, See what happens if you follow after God, how good God can help you in your life. Look at how God can bless you. Look how wonderful God is. I want to be that voice that's always telling them in that in their ear, hearing that God's so good. That's the only reason why I want to stick around. Otherwise, yes, I'd rather go on to be with Jesus. It's only to be less painful, less of a struggle, less of a fight. But you know, the thing is, if you believe that, if you truly believe that, and that's the way you feel about your faith, this gift of salvation, you're going to do everything you can to fight off the enemy. Because your family's watching. They need to be protected too. You know, there is a chapter in the Bible, and it's called Nehemiah. And if you've never read it, please go back and read it. I will tell you, it is an amazing book in the Bible. It's so awesome because the people are so real and genuine. I think you can just see the people and how they react and act. It's just so like us today. But Nehemiah loved the people around him so much, the people that were his people, you know, the Israelites from Jerusalem. He loved them, and he wanted to do what he could to help them. So he sacrificed a lot. He had a great job. He was a cupbearer, you know, to the king. He was in there, you know, helping them out and doing all this. But he decided he wanted to go back, and he wanted to build the walls around Jerusalem so that they could be guarded and protected from the enemy. So what he does is he actually puts down everything in his life that he held important, his job, his life, his reputation, and he went and decided he was going to really motivate the people to build the walls. And what's interesting is he goes not just to build the walls, but he goes there to help them build the walls. And I always think that's such a great pastor representation. You know, the idea that we want to motivate you, but we're going to work alongside you, right? We're going to try to motivate you to be the better path to take. And what he does is he just wants to do something for God, you know, but the enemy, he always comes to try to stop. Anything good that you're going to do in your life that's for God, the enemy is going to try to take it down. And the same thing happened with Nehemiah. It says in Nehemiah 4, 12 through 23, it says, "The Jews who lived near the enemy came and told us again and again, 'They will come from all directions and attack us.' So I placed armed guards behind the lowest parts of the wall in the exposed areas. I stationed the people to stand guard by families, armed with swords, spears, and bows. Then as I looked over the situation, I called together the nobles and the rest of the people and said to them, 'Don't be afraid of the enemy. Remember the Lord, who is great and glorious, and fight for your brothers, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your homes.'" This is what you're called to do. You know, when I think about this, it just is amazing because you can see he's there to fight the enemy, but he's doing it because of who? Those he loves. Yes, it's important for you to get to heaven. I think it's a great thing, but don't you care about your families? Don't you care about your sons, your daughters, your spouses, your friends? Those are what we have to be mindful of. If he takes us out, he takes them out. At least he's a voice. He's taking a voice out if he takes you. It goes on to say, "When our enemies heard that we knew of their plans and that God had frustrated them, we all returned to our work on the wall. But from then on, only half my men worked, while the other half stood guard with spears, shields, bows, and coats of mail. The leaders stationed themselves behind the people of Judah who were building the wall. The laborers carried on their work with one hand supporting their load and one hand holding a weapon. All the builders had a sword belted to their side. The trumpeter stayed with me to sound the alarm. Then I explained to the nobles and the officials and all the people, 'The work is very spread out, and we are widely separated from each other along the wall. When you hear the blast of the trumpet, rush to wherever it's sounding, then our God will fight for us.' We worked early and late, from sunrise to sunset, and half the men were always on guard. I always told everyone living outside the walls to stay in Jerusalem. That way, they and their servants could help us with guard duty at night and work during the day. During this time, none of us, not I, nor my relatives, nor my servants, nor the guards who were with me, ever took off our clothes. We carried our weapons with us at all times, even when we went for water." I want you to understand that this story in the Bible is there for us to understand and how to live. We are supposed to be building ourselves up, building up our faith, building up our family's faith, but we're all supposed to be fighting alongside with a battle plan, with swords and spirits here just to get them, you know, to take other enemies out, to fight alongside of them. It's so important for you to understand that we need God's help. We need to be praying. We need to ask God's protection. We need to be asking for ways to fight the enemy. We need to be fighting alongside of each other. You know, I think so many of us think that we can do this all at home ourselves. You know, it's like, well, I'm following after God. I just don't really want to do the whole church thing. I'm just going to do this on my own. I'm going to tell you, you need each other. You can see here what they needed each other, didn't they? He even said, we're too spread out. We're too spread out. When the trumpet, you know, blares, let's all come together. See, the thing is, if we're not close, we can't hear the trumpet. We don't know to help each other. God is so good. He just says, I've got a plan for you. It's all spelled out. You guard and protect yourself. Guard and protect your family. Be willing to fight for everything. Be willing to fight for each other is what he wants. This word is so important for us to model, that we should set up a boundary in everything that we do to protect and guard those that we love, and, you know, protect our sons, our daughters, our homes, our spouses. The enemy wants to take them out. Do everything you can to thwart him. You know, if we did care about our boundaries like Nehemiah did, we would all be doing much better. You know, the idea that we would guard and say, no, I'm not going to let the enemy in. I'm going to fight with everything I have. Guys, if you're the spiritual leader in your house, step up. Because the enemy's doing anything he can to take your kids. He's going to do anything he can. Women, I'm telling you, if you're a single mom, do everything you can to be the example for your kids. Fight for them. Fight for them. You know, I think the world's screaming all this negativity and this hurtfulness and evil. And a lot of times what we do is we're just silent on the good. Speak the good into their lives. I love what I taught a couple weeks ago, the idea that he says about the commandments. Say them as you get up. Repeat them as you go to bed. Tie them on your doorpost. Tie them where you can see them. Listen to them. Think about the goodness of God. All the things that he wants to do to protect us. Fight with everything you've got. There is a spiritual war that's taking place. Don't play into the hands of the enemy. Don't just go for, you know, the enemy's telling you to do something. Stop and think. Pray. Is this the enemy or is this God? I love that he says, don't be afraid of the enemy, but remember the Lord who is great and glorious. I think sometimes we just don't remember how great and glorious God is. God is great. You know, it becomes like almost a big, like, joke to say, you know, God is good all the time. No, God is great, isn't he? He's amazing what he's done. He's taken a life that was destined for the afterlife of hell. And you accept him as your savior and you get to go on to live a life of eternal joy with God. What an amazing gift that is. You know, God fights for those that love him. And I want you to know he loves you. He loves you. You could have been the worst, vile sinner, but if you turn your life around, he loves you and he is fighting for you. He cares about you. He's fought for you. Where you sit today, he's probably already fought so many battles that you weren't even aware of. He just wants you to fight alongside of him. And I think that's where we fail. He's fighting for you, but sometimes he's like, where are you? You're not even fighting alongside with me. It's like Nehemiah standing there with all those people fighting, and, you know, where's the next person? You know, God's there. I'm like doing battle for you, but you're MIA. You're missing. So don't expect it that you're going to survive. You're going to make it. God wants us to know that there's an enemy who desires to destroy us. But with his help, we can win. We can win. It's just getting up and deciding that day that we're going to fight with all we got. I think to do that, to win, we have to know who we are. And when I say who we are, it's that we are the sons and daughter of the Most High God. That if you've accepted Jesus as your Savior and you're following after him, that he wants you to succeed, that he desires for you to make it. You know, it's amazing to think that you know, the creator of the heavens and the earth, the one who gave us all this beauty to look at, gives us life, then actually he knows you. He knows you. He knows your circumstance. He knows everything about your life. I always say, it's always amazing to me that he could know me, you know, a nobody. Who am I? You know, Troy Grove, Illinois, a town of 250 people, just one of millions, you know, that exist, but he pays attention. And he knows me. He knows my circumstances. And I want you to know he knows you. He knows everything about you. And that's sometimes daunting when you think about he knows the sin, but you know what? If you've been forgiven, you can put all that away and just take hold of the fact that he loves you and he desires for you to succeed. Romans 8:37 says, no, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loves us. Loved us, loves us. He loves us. Walk with your head held high. He loves you. There's times where I'm just amazed by that. I'm just like, he loves me. When we're in worship, when I think about some of the things that he's done, he loves me. When we sing the songs, when he talk about like it's the plural, I always try to change it because I'm always thinking, no, it's specific to me. I need to take hold of that. To win, though, we need to know who we are. You know, he gives us weapons to fight the enemy. We just have to utilize them. We have to be praying. We have to be reading his word. We have to be praying for those things that he gives us. He tells us we can pray for wisdom. If you think sometimes I don't know the right choices to make, he says, ask for wisdom and he will give it to you. He says we can ask for favor, that we can go into a circumstance and that we can say, God, can you please give me favor with these people? And he says he will give it to you if you ask with the right motives. He also gives us some real, true things that we can fight with. And that's in Ephesians 6, 11 through 18. It says, a final word, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. For we're not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Therefore, this is important. Every time you see therefore, there's a reason it's there. Yeah, it's there for you to understand. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so you'll be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you'll be standing firm. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news so you'll be fully prepared. In addition to all of these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. Stay alert. Understand that there is a dark world that wants to take you down, but God is the light. And if we keep walking to that, we'll succeed. God's for us. He's not against you. He's for you. He is fighting for us. Even in times when you're not aware that it's taking place, there's things that he's doing. He could be stepping in our path to guard us. Angels could be there surrounding us. There's battles taking place that we're not even aware of. I think the only thing that he really wants us to do is he wants us to fight alongside of him. Fight enough for yourself that you really do want to make it. Put every effort into it. Get up every day and say, I'm going to do my best. I'm going to fight the enemy. I'm not going to fall victim. When the temptations come, I'm going to say, no, God, God's not going to help me get through that. I'm not going to fall for that victim mentality of just being tempted over and over again and just wallow in my pain and act like, well, I couldn't help myself. God's here to help you. He wants to give you just victorious living. He wants to give joy, and he wants you to have a life that's so filled with abundance of good things. You know, the thing is, we just have to be aware there's an enemy, not focus on him, but be aware and fight with the weapons that he gives us. You know, the barriers that the enemy's going to throw at you, you just got to keep going. You got to keep moving. Got to kick them out of your way. You got to move them along. Jump over them. Do what you got to do. And then live within the perimeters of God's character. Put on his character, make that be your boundaries, and try to live that way. Guard yourself, guard those you love, and fight with all you got. Don't be weak. Don't just fall victim to what the enemy wants. Fight. Fight hard for those that you love. I think that's what God wants us to do. Let me pray for you. God, you are so good, and you love us so much. And I'm sure when we fall victim to the enemy's schemes, it hurts you so much. It hurts you to see that we fell victim to what the enemy tried to trap us with. I pray, Father, that you would just be with each person that's here today within this earshot of this message. I pray that you would guard and protect them, that they would really take hold of all your weapons, Lord, that you give us, the things that we can fight with. I just pray, Father, that we would succeed and that we would be able to slay the dragons in our lives, that we'd be able to look at our lives and look back on it and think, yes, I was a good and faithful servant. And that there's people around me that I was actually able to lead to God too. I just pray for that, Lord, in each one of our lives. Lord, we thank you for all the things you're going to do. We just pray for your help and your protection this coming week. When the enemy tries to attack, Lord, we just pray for your protection. We thank you for all things in Jesus' name. Amen.